You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. This is Dave Hodges, your host. Along with me is our co-host, Katie Whelan, and we've got a really exciting show for you tonight. In just a moment, we'll be joined by Gary Haven, who is the executive producer of what will be the blockbuster movie for Patriots in the summer, and hopefully for everybody, with a release date of May 13th. And Gary will be joining us to give us an update on where we're at with Armageddon, what's it about, and why it's important. And I've been chosen to write a review, and I have seen the movie, and all I can say is, wow. In the second hour, we're going to be joined by Greg Jackson, and essentially we're going to be talking about how to raise kids in troubled environments like the one we're in now, and a really entertaining author, great guy. And in the third hour, we're going to be joined by an old familiar favorite here to the Common Sense Show, Ty Bollinger. Now, it's been a couple years since we've had Ty on, but he's been on a bunch, and he has been on a crusade. Not that he never wasn't, but he really has picked up momentum, and Katie is going to be conducting the majority of that interview in our extended health report segment. And speaking of segments, I want to remind everybody this segment is brought to you in part by Renaissance Precious Metals. That's my really good friend, Steve Quayle. And Steve will consult with you about your needs. There is no pressure. If he can't help you, he'll tell you. But in this time, and especially with an article you may have caught that I wrote this week about how Goldman Sachs is going to usher in bail-ins through their online bank. And if you haven't seen that, after the show, go up and read that. It's still on the carousel at thecommonsenseshow.com. And you're going to want to get out of your bank as much as you can and into precious metals. And you're going to see from what Steve will tell you and what you can read that you really need to make this conversion like yesterday. So to facilitate that, give Steve a call tomorrow at 406-586-4842. Again, that is 406-586-4842. Another sponsor we have for this hour is ReadyMadeResources.com and our good friend Bob Griswold. And we were fortunate enough to be joined by Bob last week. And his website has everything you need for preppers. And I mean everything. Water, food, he's got everything. Night vision, that's probably his most popular product. And I'd encourage you to go up to ReadyMadeResources.com and then give Bob a call in the morning at 1-800-627-3809. And one more. NumanaFoods.com/Hodges is the place to go for survival food. And after you listen to our interview with Gary, all I got to say is if you don't have a good supply of storable food, and we mean a minimum of 6 months, we recommend 2 years, you're going to want to go get it, because once our occupiers roll in and once the you-know-what hits the fan, it's going to be too late. So please go to numana.com/Hodges. We have everything from a grab-and-go bucket to a two-year supply of food. Well, it's our distinct honor and privilege to have on our first guest, Gary Haven, who's the executive producer of the movie Armageddon. I've seen it, and what I couldn't believe is how many critical issues they squeezed into a relatively short movie, and how they were able to incorporate all these things you hear about on this show, read on my website. You hear Steve Quayle, Doug Hagman all talking about these things, and it's all right there in one movie. And it's got a nice storyline, a good plot, but underlying the plot is the message, hey folks, this is real. We could be in a lot of trouble, and we really need everyone to pay attention. So please join me in welcoming a good friend to America, a good friend to the Patriot community, with the production of this movie, which is incredible, Gary Haven. Gary, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate the kind words, and I'm really honored to be here. I have such respect for you and what you get up and do every day and the courage you have, so it's really my honor.
Well, the honor is really all ours, Gary. Well, how long did you begin production of this movie? And let me just say something to our producer real quickly. If we could give Gary sound just a little bit of a boost, that would be a great help. Okay, so Gary, when did you start production on all this?
I actually sat down and wrote the script with Mike Norris about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. And then we started filming this past January. And what's interesting is that we based the EMP attack on a North Korean satellite that brings a nuclear device above our country. And, of course, the headlines on the news over the last few months is North Korea launches satellite on February 7th. North Korea has miniaturized nuclear devices, which is what you do to put it on a satellite to create an EMP. And, the satellite goes over the center of the U.S. at the optimum altitude twice a day. Plus, they have a second satellite that's doing it. And so the method of destruction to this country is actually been on display even in mainstream media over the last few months. And there was no way we could have predicted that a year and a half ago when you set out to do this.
No, you really couldn't. But all the pieces were going into place at that time. You chose really as kind of the unifying force in the movie the United Nations. What made you decide on them as the protagonist, or the antagonist, I should say, in terms of subjugating America?
You can see the evidence of that being a real-world scenario just by looking in a few places. We wanted to make a movie that was fact-based. You know, it needed to be entertaining, so people would come and watch it. But I wanted to be true to the facts. Now, of course, the facts are fascinating enough without us having to Hollywoodize it. But, you know, anything you see like the TV show Revolution, and by the way, the Christians are always the bad guys on the Hollywood versions of these things. So we wanted to have it fact-based to make it a good teaching experience while we made it entertaining. So you know that John Kerry, our Secretary of State, has already signed on to a UN agreement that in the event of an emergency in America, and the emergency is not defined, it could be economic, it could be weather-related, you name it, the UN is authorized to come into America with foreign troops and to take over and restore order. And, of course, under the other treaty that he signed, the UN Small Arms Treaty, Kerry has agreed, in spite of the fact that treaties are supposed to be approved by the United States Senate, he's already agreed that the UN can send in foreign troops and take away our weapons. So in the movie, we depict the UN coming in and doing that. And, of course, the event that happens is an electromagnetic pulse, which completely destroys the grid across the country. And so the UN comes in with foreign troops and begins to take away our weapons as well as our resources. Executive Order 13603 that the president has signed gives the government the authority to take away all of our resources and even force us to work without pay. You know, your listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with this. I know you are. So these are all things that have been signed, that have been codified into law. And so you got to ask yourself, why would our leaders go to the trouble to do all these things if they didn't plan to use them one day?
Exactly. That's exactly what I've been writing about for the last several years, is the fact that, you know, you look at 13603, and Gary, let me just point out one provision that's in there, and if you ever do a sequel, you might want to include this. They have a provision in that executive order to not only take our food and take our water and take our guns and control every aspect of transportation and business, but they have something in there for slavery, slave labor. And they call people who are workers consultants. And I believe, from memory, it's in Section 601 and 801, where they can send you anywhere in a civilian draft run by the Secretary of Labor to do anything. These are slave labor camps right out of Nazi Germany.
Isn't it strange that the first black president would be the one to bring back slavery?
It is ironic as heck. And, you know, when Obama was elected, I had real reservations because of his lack of experience, particularly in foreign affairs and the controversy surrounding his birth certificate and the fact he seemed to come out of nowhere. But I thought, what a remarkable thing for this country that we have an African-American president. Gee, look how far we've come, and we can move forward together as a unified nation. And I saw that as a positive. But he has set race relations back 100 years. He has set the economy back at least 50 years. And we look at what's going on today with him. I mean, I don't know. I just want to get your take on this, because Obama was not really a central part of your movie, even though you had some clips about him. But I think he was put into place to deliberately take this country down. What do you think about that?
Well, absolutely. Let me address it from a couple of angles. First of all, why would the people in power want to bring our country down? And the answer to that is that they have been pursuing a world government agenda for a long, long time. And so people like George Soros and the Rockefellers, the Banksters, Bill Gates, these people who are humanist, which means that they believe they're God, and they think that they're destined to rule. And as Kissinger said, and we say this in the movie, the only thing standing in the way of a new world order is a strong America. So they've got to bring America down, and their plan to do that is through massive uncontrolled spending and the printing of money until they destroy the dollar in the economy, the opening of the border with millions of illegal immigrants coming into the country, bringing in unvetted Syrians who the FBI says up to 10% of them may be radicalized, and the idea that they would allow North Korea or perhaps even China and Russia in collusion with North Korea, maybe even Iran, to detonate a nuclear device above our country and bring us back to the 1800s is not far-fetched when you realize that they don't care about America. They care about absolute power in their pursuit of it. And there's so many, the TPP, which we should talk about tonight, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, these are blatant, not just un-American, anti-American efforts. And it's not just Obama, of course, and the Democrats. You have an establishment Republican Party, who I was very active in for years, that had been bought and paid by the elitist. And if you just look at the policies of Washington over the last 20 years, and by the way, Princeton and Northwestern did just that in a study they released about 6 months ago, and they determined that virtually every federal policy out of Washington for 20 years was came about from the influence of moneyed interest, and that the average American voter had zero influence on what our government does. So it's out there, and they're more and more open about it. And this is what this Trump movement is about. You know, the byline on my movie poster, Amerageddon, says, "They've stolen our country. It's time to take it back." And the American people are waking up, and they realize that, you know, Trump may be a mess, but he's his own mess. He's too rich to be bought, and that son of a gun is courageous, because, you know, if he gets close to power, I think they'll do anything to prevent it. And what I'm talking about is what they did to John F. Kennedy when he stood up to these elitists.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying there. Trump is in mortal danger if he's sincere. And I'm kind of an 80-20 guy on this. I mean, he used to be friends with the Clintons. He hobnobs with the New World Order people, or did. And that part gnaws at me. But he is taking so much heat from so many different directions. This is what's increased my faith in his movement. But I've even projected that if they can't steal the election from him, if he does reach 1237, I wouldn't be surprised if there's not a false flag, a 9/11 kind of event involving small planes and ISIS cells that we know are already here to take down the Republican leadership, and Hillary will move in unopposed. And speaking of Hillary, what are your thoughts about her and her potential presidency?
Well, Hillary is a one-woman crime wave. I would call her trailer trash, but that would be an insult to the people that live in mobile homes.
Mm-hmm.
She is not only grossly incompetent, but a thief, a liar, and I'm talking about the Clinton Fund. I'll give you a quick story. I took Rand Paul to Haiti back in November on a medical mission trip, and we did 200 cataract surgeries on elderly, blind Haitians. And I have a big Haitian ministry. I feed 10,000 children there every day and have since the earthquake. But Rand Paul had just looked at the Clinton Fund, and they had raised hundreds of millions of dollars for Haiti relief. Only 6% of the money they raised went to the Haitians. 94% of the money that was raised for Haiti relief went into the Clintons' pocket for their travel, for their family members, and so forth. This woman is just, it's unbelievable that half of Americans can look at her and think, hey, this is a pretty good idea that we elect this woman as our leader. It's extraordinary. But there's some hope. Again, I haven't been a big Trump fan because I've been just like you. I was skeptical, and I'm watching. And what has convinced me is really the thing that's convinced you is there would not be so many attacks against him if he probably wasn't a real deal. And a lot of Americans now are wanting their country back, and they believe someone is standing up to help us do that.
It's almost divine providence with his movement that he has gotten this far, because even if Trump were to die tomorrow, his movement will not die. And because his movement will not die, the changing shift in American consciousness is really the biggest threat to the control they have over us. You can't control a country of 300 million people who are armed and know they're being ripped off. Right now, we're armed, and a lot of us don't know we're being ripped off, but that's changing. And this is why I'm not going to give anything away here in your movie, but one of the themes of your movie was it's just starting. And that's really what I walked away, what feeling I was left with. We're just beginning. And there's a sleeping giant that's being arisen in this country. And I don't think the globalists know how to deal with it.
Well, they're doing desperate things right now. And you can see it. And the evidence of it, even the Republican, the establishment Republicans who came out and said Trump ought to be killed, that was a few months ago. It was astounding that these people would say that out loud. And then you have the anti-Trump movement, Crystal coming out, trying to get Romney and so forth, knowing all that will do is get Hillary elected. So desperate people do desperate things, and you said something a moment ago that I agree with. That if it looks like they can't stop him, I agree with you. It's going to accelerate things. It's going to cause them to pull the trigger, so to speak. And the trigger in my movie, of course, is an EMP. And for people that may not be familiar with that, it's an electromagnetic pulse that is created by nuclear detonation. And the nuclear device doesn't hurt anything, but the energy, the gamma rays, and the other things that it produces literally destroys all electronics. And what we're talking about is the power grid goes down, and without power, you have no banking system, no food delivery, no fuel delivery. And Congress held two EMP commissions, one in 2006 and the other in 2008. And the Congress itself determined that an EMP was the greatest threat to America, and that within 12 months of an EMP, that 90% of Americans would be dead. And yet, our Congress has done nothing to harden our grid and protect us. And they say that for only $2 billion, they can harden our grid. And to tell you how much money that is, that's how much we gave to Pakistan last year. And if you think your government is here to help you, and I have to tell you, that's one of the great awakenings that I think is going on right now. Our government does not care about us. And the people that are in the top echelons of power not only don't care about us, I believe that they are interested in our demise.
I agree. I could not agree with you more. There was a story broken by Steve Quayle approximately a week ago in which he had released to him through a source, a deep intel source, that Steve and I both know, and I happened to talk to the source as well, and then I've talked to other people that I made contact with when I was writing about the GridX2 drill, which was the simulated takedown in November of 2013. And I had a fit because Obama let the Russians and the Chinese in on the drill. And I thought that was crazy because of the fact that we gave them the keys to the car and we showed them how to start the car and wreck our grid system. Now, what came out of this was there were six Americans and a Chinese national indicted. The Chinese national in this Tennessee nuclear power plant was identified as a spy, and the six Americans were not identified at all. They were American number one, American number two. And what I've been able to learn since then really gives so much credibility to what you had in the movie with the takedown being an EMP. The threat right now, as we ascertain it, is not an EMP, but it is a poor man's EMP. In other words, the Chinese have been able to infiltrate our power grid and put quote-unquote cyber bombs in them, and they can take the grid down. It's not a matter if they can do it, it's when they're gonna do it, and we will have the same effects of an EMP without wrecking the entire infrastructure, because China wants to take over the resources because we owe them a lot of money, and this makes a lot of sense. And what's happened now, right before the release of your movie, you want to talk about predictive programming? Your movie caught this as the most likely scenario of takedown, even though, like I said, I don't believe it's going to be a satellite or a nuclear bomb EMP, but it's going to have the same exact effect in the short term. Nuclear power plants can go into meltdown, and I have information now that's been sent to me by a congressional staffer, and you could probably figure out who it is, but I'm not going to give this person up on the air, and they were part of the 06-08 hearings you're referencing. And, in fact, I've written about those extensively. Leading the charge on that was my own congressman, Trent Franks.
Yes,
here in Arizona. Yeah, and so your movie was right at the forefront of catching this. And did you think this event was most scenario because it was so universal?
Yeah. You know, what people have to realize is that if the people that are in absolute power in our country believe they need to diminish the United States so that they can raise up this new world order, then it's going to happen. And, you know, I could have used a cyber attack on the grid. I could have used a financial collapse. We could have used the Syrians that have been radicalized coming in and detonating devices, dirty bombs, you name it. There are so many very likely scenarios that these elitists can use to diminish our country that you can almost just pick one. And of course, in the movie, and that's a good point you made, we show people how to prepare for it. You know, we've got our own food stocks and sources of water. We have weapons to defend it. We have gold and silver. This is something interesting that I kind of came up with. I actually think that cash might be valuable during a scenario like that, because 99% of money is digitized, and that's going to be going away. And what makes something valuable is its rarity, and so few people are going to have any cash, and there's such a history of it having value that that it might even be helpful. And of course, you've been writing about the bank bail-in. It's now codified in a law. Dodd-Frank, the G20 banking systems have established this policy. When we have a banking crisis, it's not if, it's when, the banks have authority now to bail us in and take our money that's on deposit because it's considered, according to their regulations, unsecured credit. And again, why are they doing all these things if they don't plan on one day having to use it?
Well, and then that's the $64 million question we keep coming back to. And what a lot of people don't realize, and let me back up, Trump's movement has brought novices to what's going on to us. In other words, they don't have a full background of the fact that we're under attack in every aspect of our life, every way of our life, from spiritual to physical to mental to emotional.
Yeah.
But they're coming to us with one or two issues that they get. And what I really think that the other side thinks they have to do as an intervention point, they can't let, let's say, 30% of the country wake up, and I think that's about the number we're going to soon hit, with not one or two issues, but nine or ten, and they figure out, hey, they're not after a couple of things. It's not a matter of electing the right person or correcting one view. They're after everything. They're after me. And once the American people cross that threshold, according to the social psychology research, at a rate of over 10%, then all you know what is going to break loose. And I think we're close to that, and that's why I think something dramatic has to happen between now and the election.
Yeah, everything has accelerated the elitist plan. Too many people are waking up right now, and David, it has a lot to do with people like you. By the way, I read your article about Trump and your concerns that he may not be fully awake to what we're doing. And let me offer a comment on that. He very well may be awake, but he doesn't want to get too far ahead of the people that are supporting him.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, you know, you and I are out on the edge on this deal, and I think Trump has traveled enough and. He's done enough business with enough people, both in the federal government and other governments, that he's got to know that there's an elite group of people that control the money, that run the central banks, that influence the value of gold and silver and derivatives and you name it. He's got to understand that. Even I had a pretty good idea from my business experience. You know, we're in 90 countries. I do business in communist countries like China and Vietnam and Russia. And, oh, by the way, it's easier to do business there than it is in America today.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, we've really, really lost our freedom. But I think he is holding his cards close to his chest. And he's doing quite well. He's bringing millions of voters out that had abandoned the system. So I want to give him a little credit and think that he is awake enough to have a pretty good idea of what you and I are talking about tonight.
I know he knows he has to with the position he occupies in the business world, and I think you're probably right. He's speaking to the level of the majority of the people that he's trying to reach. He's like a teacher in a classroom of 50 kids where you're going to teach right to the middle.
Yeah.
And I think you're right on the money with that analysis. But I have been critical of him because he hasn't gone beyond his three initial positions of free trade, having legalized immigration, and stopping this insane refugee resettlement program without screening these people coming in. You know, maybe he has to keep it simple. Maybe he feels three is about the maximum number of things that a new person to this movement can learn. Do you think that's why he's being so simplistic?
Yeah. You know, I built a big business, and I did it by keeping it as simple as possible. You know, my company was translated into probably 30 languages, and you know, just keeping it focused on the basics was the key to having it get traction everywhere. So I'm pretty sure, and he's a master salesman. You know, he knows that his message has got to be shaped and framed just a certain way if it's going to resonate. I think so. And I tell you what else, he's going to surround himself with smart people. That's what a CEO does. And these smart people are going to tell him the rest of the story. And I think we're going to see his policies begin to be more refined. You know, he said something this past week. He gave a speech. It was one of his bigger speeches where he actually said, this is a paraphrase, but he said these globalists in their plans are no longer going to happen. We're going to put America first. And so I think he's sending a message out that that he does recognize the people that are in power and their nefarious plan to, you know, for our country. But by the way, there was a great article about the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. It's called TPP. Was it Obama's a traitor? If you want to wonder whether our current president should be tried for treason, you need to read this review of the TPP. And Steve Quell had it linked on his website the other day. And for people that are not up to speed on it, that's that secret trade agreement that the Republican Congress gave Obama permission to negotiate in secret. It's crazy. And some of the material has been leaking out, and we know for a fact now that it completely destroys the sovereignty, the rule of law, and the Constitution of the United States if this treaty gets passed. And I'll give your audience just a quick explanation of it. If an international corporation decides that their profits are going to suffer as a result of what a sovereign country or a sovereign state has done, and let's use the example, Europe doesn't want GMO seeds in the country. Well, if any of them sign on to this thing, Australia is a good example, they're going to sign on to it. The Australian people who might say, you know, hell no, no GMO, then Monsanto will go to the three attorneys that represent what they call a tribunal. Isn't that a great name? And the tribunal of three corporate attorneys can make a ruling that Monsanto's profits have been harmed by Australia's non-GMO law. And that's all they have to establish. And certainly the profits will have been hindered by that. They'll assess an amount, and then you say that the Australians will simply go to their Supreme Court and appeal it. Well, you'll be wrong, because the tribunal has final authority. And then you say, well, Australia just won't pay it. And you'd be wrong again, because Australia agreed to pay any damages. And so suddenly, Australia has no more sovereignty. It's been given over to multinational companies in this tribunal. And we no longer are free citizens of a sovereign country. And Obama and the establishment Republicans are the ones who are pushing this nonsense. And by the way, Ted Cruz voted for this.
Of course he did. His wife is a vice president at Goldman Sachs. She was involved in the creation of NAFTA. And she's also a regional director of the Council on Foreign Relations. So, of course, he voted for it. He sleeps with the enemy.
You know, he's my senator, and I happen to know him. And about 8 months ago, I was real excited to go to a dinner and with a few people and get to know him a little bit better. And he began to tell the small group that the Ukraine was all about Putin being the devil, and that Putin went in and stole Crimea and was disrupting this nonsense. And I couldn't believe I was hearing this nonsense. And when he finished, I said, Well, Senator, I know you're a national debating champion, but there's a whole other side of this story, and I'm going to tell it. And, of course, I explained how Victoria Nuland from the State Department had got caught spending $6 billion to overthrow the Ukrainian government, and how their neo-Nazis are now part of the ruling Ukraine government, and how they were attacking and killing the Russian-speaking Ukrainians. By the way, my country has 200 locations in the Ukraine, so I'm very familiar with the area. And at the end of the dinner, Cruz came up to me and he said, "You know, I'm not a neocon." And I was a little stunned because that's the very definition of a neocon. And to lie to me and this small group about what really happened over there, you know, everybody knows that Crimea voted, they had a referendum for Putin to come in and save them from these neo-Nazis. And so I really began to do my research on Cruz at that point in time. And, of course, that's when I found out his wife's a Goldman Sachs VP. She's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. I saw that he voted for the TPP. Cruz is the designated opponent, the guy that the New World Order puts up to make us think we have a choice in the election. And I know that a lot of Christians are unfortunately deceived because of his so-called Christianity. But and I'm a Christian. I was excited about it, having one of us. But what I found out is that he has fooled a whole bunch of us. And again, Trump may be a mess, but Trump's not a liar. He's not a neocon. He didn't push. In fact, he's against the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So I want to say to your Christian audience tonight, look, I know you're disappointed about Cruz, but the truth of the matter is he's bought and paid for by the moneyed interest. He's not one of us.
No, he clearly is not one of us. Well, if you just tuned in, we're talking with Gary Haven, the executive producer of the soon-to-be-released on May 13th movie, which we hope will be the blockbuster of the summer. The movie is entitled Armageddon. Gary, let's take a moment out and tell everyone about how they can locate the website, see the movie trailer, look at your endorsements, and look at the theaters that it's opening up in. And I'm proud to say the theater that the Hodges family frequents most often is Harkins in Peoria, Arizona, and you're opening there on May 13th. We were so pleased to see that. So tell the listening audience a little bit about how to find your website and how they can gain more information on their own.
Yeah, go on the web and find Armageddonthemovie.com. Armageddonthemovie.com. And when you go there, you'll get to see the trailer. I think you'll really enjoy it. This is an action-packed experience that's fun to watch. You'll also be able to access the blog and see what people are writing about and the conversation that's going on. And you'll see a place for theaters where you can go and see if one is near you. And again, it opens May 13th, Friday the 13th. I consider that lucky. And it's going to be in theaters across the southern U.S. And, Dave, I want to encourage people to not just come out and see the movie, but this is a chance for them to bring their friends and family that, you know, kind of think we're all a little bit over the edge on the stuff that we're talking about. This is a way for them to enjoy a movie, but also experience what would happen if our country goes through a crisis, which I believe is going to come. And it may not be the EMP. It's certainly going to be a financial crisis. That's by design, the open borders, you name it. And how do we as citizens prepare for difficult times? How do we deal with those constitutional issues? And so when you bring your family and friends, they're going to get to see this in action. And it becomes very real. You know, these are problems that we face as a nation. And to have your head in the sand, or to, you know, to cry conspiracy just because they're, you know, something you're uncomfortable with, you know, this will give them a chance to see it and for you guys to talk about it. And I tell you, Dave, it's become more of a movement than a movie. Do you know that we've had 1,650,000 people watch our trailer over the last 5 weeks or so, which is huge.
Have you had any contact with Donald Trump's camp?
Well, it's funny you ask. I've been asked on two different occasions to be an advisor. You know, I've been real involved in Republican politics. I actually had the naive idea that that if I supported the right people, that we might actually have good government. But I tell you, I'm older and wiser now, and mm-hmm. I realize that the system's rigged. So when you know, people look out for major donors and people of influence, I'm often included on the list because of my history. So you know, I've been thinking about accepting that, but I'm kind of watching the progression. You know, I'm opposed to a lot of things Trump's for. I'll give you an example. The border, the wall. I think the wall is a terrible idea. Here's how you fix immigration, illegal immigration. You quit funding it. You quit giving food stamps and Section 8 housing and Medicaid and you name it, and these people couldn't afford to live here. And then you set up on the border a proper work visa program. You know, I have a ranch hand. He's been coming here for years. He goes home on December 21st and spends Christmas with his family, and then he goes to a visa hearing, and you know, you pay a little money for it, and he comes back to work. But that program is run by the government, and it's, you know, terribly inefficient. If you fix that stuff, then these people could, you know, could travel back and forth and do the work that so many Americans want to do. They wouldn't have to live in the shadows. So, you know, Trump's right on enough things, particularly about taking our country back, that I'm certainly interested in supporting him. But I'm kind of like you. I'm getting close.
Yeah, you know, I've said this often. I will vote for Trump not because of Trump the man, but because of Trump the issues. Every other candidate has been part of the problem, from free trade agreements to the immigration mess to the refugee resettlement program. I don't care if you're talking Clinton and Sanders on one end, Cruz, Kasich, Rubio, Jeb Bush, the whole clan on the other side. They have had their chance, and under their watch, we are losing. And just for that reason alone, they get fired. And this is why I can't believe anyone would vote for Hillary, because they're a woman. I want to pull my hair out at the stupidity of the American voter in all this. Let me share with you something else I want to go down and talk to you about. Go down this road here about interference. It's been a little while, but I used to interview Jim Mars quite often. And Jim wrote a book called Crossfire, which is really one of the definitive pieces on the Kennedy assassination. And Oliver Stone recognized the wisdom in this book and adopted it as his screenplay for the movie JFK back in the early 90s. And Jim told me many, many times about how they had the script stolen from them. They were interfered with in ways that just made no sense. Have you experienced that as well? Because what people are going to see when they go to the movie houses on May 13th is nothing like they've ever seen in any other movie in the history of this country.
I appreciate that, Dave. You're right. You know, I'm not afraid of the consequences of telling the truth. In fact, like you, I'm compelled to tell the truth. As a Christian, I'm a child of the author of truth. And, you know, if I didn't tell it, the rocks are going to shout it out, right? And so I'm at a point in my life where you know what, they've stolen our country, and I'm going to do everything I can to get it back. And I'm going to tell the truth, and I'm going to expose people. And I'm, you know, this isn't courage. I'm just not afraid of these bastards. And so the movie business for my wife and I was an opportunity to make movies that made a difference. And we knew that if we were going to put something out there, it had to be entertaining, but it also had to be fact-based. It had to be a learning experience where people could walk away and be able to talk intelligently about the events that are going on around us. We wanted to create conversation. And the other thing we wanted to do is show people what to do. We wanted people to prepare. And, you know, excuse me, I'm a big prepper and have been for a while, and I know you are, and we've got a lot of friends that are. That's just good sense. I wanted to depict some scenarios that people would have to be faced with. For example, the hero of the story is a young lieutenant who is ordered by his corrupt colonel to take weapons away from American citizens. And he stands up to the authorities and says, as a soldier, I'm not required to obey unconstitutional orders. And, of course, that's when all heck breaks loose. So I want a million soldiers to see this movie, and I want them to experience what happens the day that they're ordered to take away weapons from American citizens before they have to do it. I want them to think about it, to be reminded that they're not required to obey these orders. And so I think when people go and see this, they're going to experience a lot of scenarios to make them start thinking, what can I do? You know, what happens if this happens? Who's the bad guys out there? Is the government really going to come and take care of my needs in the event of a crisis? Let me tell you what, the government is here, but they're not here to help you.
Well, they showed us what they're about in Hurricane Katrina when local law enforcement walked off the job in 3 to 4 days, and so did other first responders. And what'd they do? They sent in Blackwater. And what did Blackwater do? They didn't go help anybody. They didn't bring anybody food. They didn't rescue anybody from rooftops around a flooded house. They came into the homes and roughed up these people and took their guns.
Yeah. Wasn't that insane? You know, it's funny. There was a... I've been to New Orleans a lot, and you've got Lake Pontchartrain there and the swamps that separate them from the rest of civilization up towards Baton Rouge, for example. The challenge was getting supplies across that waterway and into New Orleans. Do you know how many bass boats are in Louisiana? And they forbid the volunteers from hauling food in and people out. There was a perfect example of the gross incompetency of not just the federal government, but the state government in that situation. And that's a good thing to think about. As a Texan, you know, we tend to be independent. We tend to be self-sufficient. We're individualist. And so it's easy for me to want to take care of myself, to make sure that my family and even my community is going to have resources in the event of a calamity. And you know, so when you speak to the American people through something like film, you know, hopefully I can, if this thing can resonate, that, hey, you know, America has become a complex nation, just like Rome. And what brings down countries is not an army on your border. It's complexity. When you no longer can distribute food and raise food and provide clean water and all the things because of the complexity of society. And we're at that state in this country. And being self-sufficient at this point in time is more important than since the beginning of our country.
That is the action step which marks the change in consciousness among the American people. Are you surprised at how many people have awakened in the last 6 months?
I'm so surprised that I'm a little guilty because I had almost given up all hope that the American people would ever be capable of electing someone that talked about self-sufficiency and America first and the common sense about, you know, if you can't vet them, you can't bring them in. So to have a third or, you know, maybe, I don't know, half, I'm hoping, of Americans that... that don't just want to take, that don't just want the government to provide for them, but just want an opportunity, just want freedom to provide for their families and to be left alone. It's extraordinary. So I am amazed, and I'm excited, and a little guilty that I gave up or almost gave up.
Well, it was discouraging. We used to talk on the show a lot about, okay, we're preaching to the choir here, folks. How do we go out and become missionaries of the truth? And what I feel I couldn't accomplish in 10 years, Donald Trump has done in 10 months. And it's truly remarkable what we're seeing. In terms of the movie, and I know we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves with this question, any thoughts as to what's going to follow the movie for you? Will there be a sequel? Will you venture off into another different but yet related direction?
Well, my wife and I decided when we retired a few years ago, and I use that word loosely. I don't seem to have time for anything now that I'm retired.
Yeah, really.
You know, we had our Haiti ministry, and we built an orphanage in India, but we wanted to do something that we felt used our talents, and being able to create a movie that makes a difference was something really neat. Mike Norris, who's the director of the movie, and my good friend, I've known him for years, which is kind of what got us into this. And by the way, he's the son of Chuck Norris.
Yeah, I figured that.
Chuck's a great American, and so Mike, his son, kind of came by it naturally. We chose this medium to try to make a difference for Americans, and you wake up every day looking for ways to peel the onion back in a way that people would receive it, and so that's the plan right now. It's going to kind of depend on response. If enough people want to see it and want to bring their friends to it and support it, the next topic, I guarantee, will be just as interesting. By the way, there's no shortage of topics. We almost made the movie about Benghazi, and I felt like Benghazi was a little late to the party because people were, you know, already getting bored with the topic. And so this movie allowed us to tell a story about what Congress says is the most imminent threat to this country. But it's a dual story. It not only tells that, but it talks about the people in this country that are in power, the ones that truly hold power, and their plan to diminish the U.S. so that they can raise up their new world order.
You're right on the money with that statement, because I have been pounding this point for years, and now the floodgates have opened. We had John Rappaport on the show a couple of weeks ago, and our health reporter, Katie Whalen, asked him, said, John, are you getting increased interest because of all this renewed interest or first interest in the globalists and what they're doing to us and so forth? And he said, unbelievable traffic coming to his website. I'm experiencing something similar. We all are. And there's no putting the genie back in the bottle. You have added, or we will be saying this in August when we have you back on, before then, of course, but we're going to have you on this summer a couple of times to gauge the reaction. But I'm telling you, your show is going to be one of the catalysts. It's going to line up right with Trump. And I certainly hope that you prayerfully consider taking that position on Trump's staff as an advisor, because we need people who really understand what's going on to join a winning team. Let me ask you a question, and this is really, we got about a minute and a half, but this is really fraught with negativity. But if something should happen to Donald, what do you think would happen to the movement?
You know, I heard you say a few minutes ago that you believe that you couldn't put you could stop the momentum, you couldn't put the genie back in the bottle. I don't know. I'm afraid what they're going to do is create some kind of chaos. If it's not an EMP like the movie depicts, or cyber attack. It's definitely going to be a financial crash because they are deliberately printing dollars. And they're also doing things deliberately to destabilize the petrodollar, which is a whole other another conversation right now. And this is all by design. So I think if Trump begins to be invincible, I'm afraid they're going to accelerate their plan. They're going to go ahead and do whatever it is they're going to do. And I tell you, under martial law, there is no election. And by the way, a lot of people say that Obama was never going to leave office. Well, believe me, Hillary is a perfect replacement for Obama. She is even more wicked and vicious. But if it looks like she's not going to get in there, I think they'll pull the trigger. And it very well may be an EMP. And by the way, let me close on this. This is important. This sounds like a negative movie, a disaster movie. But the truth is, I believe that if you know Jesus and you're in his hands, there's really nothing to worry about. And I believe that God's going to preserve a remnant. And I believe the remnant are the ones who listen and prepare, because we're going to be in a much better position to provide for our families during difficult times.
Well, I totally agree with you. I think that the coalescence of people in spirit and mind and coming together in collective action is going to make a great deal of difference. And they're not going to give up. I mean, we're not going to get out of this. I mean, this is my view, and I know it's horribly negative. They're not going to just go away because we grab the reins of power of this country. They're not going to stop. They'll try to take us down through a war or some other horrible means. We're not going to get out of this without a fight. Don't you agree?
I do. And so we need to encourage people to think clearly, to not be afraid of evidence. You know, the old normalcy bias and cognitive reasoning. You know, we have the capacity as individuals to really look at evidence and to think clearly about it, even if it's threatening and ugly. And so people like you and me and Steve Quill, you know, we're trying to bring people information that they can can be informed and considerate and share with people. And if we can't change the ultimate destination, which is biblical, we can prepare for it and I think diminish the consequences on our family.
Exactly.
And then when Jesus does come, and I, you know, I used to be a pre-trib guy, and I ain't anymore. I believe biblically we're going to go through some very, very difficult times.
I agree. And Gary, we're just about out of time, and I do not want to leave this without giving a proper promo for this movie that is a must-see. AmerageddonTheMovie.com is the website. It's in theaters May 13th. There's a trailer there to watch. There's lots of entertaining information to learn about the movie before you go and see it and take friends. Gary, you've been a delightful guest, and we're going to have you back on as soon as this movie debuts to get the reaction. My son wants to see it in person so he can watch the other people. That's what he told me today. Gary, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Dave. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Wow. What a great man, and you're going to see what a great movie. I have seen it. There is nothing out there like it. Well, we're going to be back in hour number two with my good friend Katie Whalen and Greg Jackson, and he has written some amazing books, but one in particular about raising your kids in these very challenging times. We'll see you in hour number two.